You're about to listen to the Complete Developer Podcast, the podcast by coders, for coders, about all aspects of life as a developer.
I'm Will, the curmudgeonly experienced developer.
And I'm Beege, the optimistic newbie developer.
Complete Developer Podcast is supported by listeners like you. We are now on Patreon at www.patreon.com/completedeveloperpodcast.
Life happens. Sometimes things happen out of your control that cause you to change your direction or the goals you've set. This week, we're talking about reviewing your goals. We'll also talk about how and when you need to change your goals. But before we get started, Will, what have you been fighting this week?
I'm having a little bit of a difficult situation at work. It's not, you know, crazy bad. It's just that, you know, and it's fairly understandable, but I have a coworker that is doing a baseless merge of a project that, like, they took the thing and they forked it like 3 years ago and then they switched source control.
Oh, fun.
And, you know, and then they both progressed for 3 years and we're having to merge that back in. And so because of the way that, you know, workloads shifted, he ended up being the one doing it instead of me. And so I'm dealing with that. And then I got the project back this last Friday and took it back over. And I've worked on it exactly 2 days. And the Delphi security project is going to start back up. So I have to hand it back over to him tomorrow. And I'm a little nervous about that.
Yeah.
Because I'm now sitting here going, okay, how bad is this going to be? And how long is it going to be bad?
Yeah.
I understand that. Yeah. So that's what I'm dealing with. But on the plus side, I am getting to, fight with stuff in Delphi. I mean, some of the stuff has been pretty gnarly. Like, you know, it's bad when you've got multiple code editors open and you're doing stuff, but it's worse when you have that and multiple hex editors to look at the output.
Oh yeah.
Looking at PDFs and hex. So that's been a fun slugging match. And we've got something in there somewhere that is taking control characters and like turning them into something else. And we don't know why.
Huh.
It doesn't match anything else I've ever seen. Like maybe it thinks they're packed bits or something. I can't figure it out. And, you know, we're just kind of dead in the water until tomorrow at 9 o'clock. And then I get to go back into dealing with that after being absent from it for a week. And so I'm a little nervous about how that's going to go. Not going to lie, I'm breaking the low carb diet tonight. I have a 1 liter Mountain Dew and I plan to stay up until about 11:30 trying to get all the hard stuff done on the merge.
Mm-hmm.
Just to try to reduce the pain.
Yeah, that
so
makes sense.
We'll see how it goes. How about you?
Well, still no word on my truck. I gave a statement to the insurance adjuster and have to get a bunch of paperwork together for her. It'll be 15 days from when the police took the report before they can even get started on assessing what I'll get from my insurance. But hopefully by the time this episode airs, I'll have some idea of what I'll be able to do with it. On a happier note, I found a Doctor Who game that I'm going to tell y'all all about in this week's IoTs.
Nice. Well, let's roll the music then.
This week for IoTs, I have a fun game. It's not exactly Internet of Things. This is just a creative use of bot technology called the Doctor Who Bot. It lets you play a game in the Doctor Who universe. The game is called The Savior of Time, and using the bot, you'll help the Doctor find 6 segments to the key to time to save the universe. And if memory serves, there was a serial back in the late 70s, early 80s with a very similar premise. That was with the Tom Baker days, Long Scarf Doctor. But I'll have a link to that in the show notes if anybody wants to play. Who's talking to us this week?
Well, we grabbed a tweet from Johnny Amy. It says, just started listening to you guys today. Digging it so far. Keep it coming.
Hey, thanks, Johnny. Send us a DM with your contact information because we've got a Complete Developer water bottle just for you. Guys, if you'd like your very own Complete Developer water bottle, leave us a review in iTunes or comment on the website or any of our social media. We post all our episodes to Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, and Google+. We're also on Path and Tumblr.
And we also do the occasional Facebook Live, which we did for the first time today.
That's true.
That was actually kind of fun. We'll probably continue doing that. So
yeah, we're gonna start doing that probably every Monday when we record. So if you guys have some questions for us, hop on around 6:30 Central Time, and we'll be on there answering questions from the comments. Here at Complete Developer Podcast, we're very goal-oriented. People ask us all the time how we're able to do so much, and it's because we set goals for ourselves and then work to accomplish them. Due to some recent events in my life that have made me have to reevaluate some of my goals, truck getting stolen, for this year, we've decided to take a look in on our goals and do a mid-year review. Now, this episode is going to be a bit different, as we're going to start kind of like a normal episode and discuss the topic of setting and reviewing goals. Then we'll change it up and look in on the goals that we set for ourselves at the beginning of this year, talk about where we are in the progress towards them, and if anything has changed towards those goals. And I want to start with a brief review of SMART goals. We've done this a couple of times throughout this year, but this is sort of important, so I just want to kind of go over it one more time. And SMART is specific, measurable, attainable, relevant, and time-bound. When you're creating goals, you need them to be specific. This is the who, what, when, where, so forth of your goals. You know, general goals are good for kind of a long term, but they really need to be broken down into more specific goals to be able to accomplish them. Creating your goals, you need to make them measurable and define specific criteria for each goal to be able to track it and to be able to qualify your progress.
Yeah, and you also have to make them attainable. It's no good to you to get a goal that you can't actually reach. Otherwise, it's just called an ideal. And attainable usually does not mean easy. It means that you got to make it challenging but realistic. You want to stretch into a goal. You also have to make the goal relevant. Anything you're going to do is going to require time and commitment. And when it gets tough, it needs to still matter. It's going to be a useful goal. You have to ask if it's worthwhile and does the outcome match the effort. You know, you don't want to be putting effort into something with diminishing returns.
Yeah. And finally, they need to be time bound. Set a start date and a target date to achieve your goal. Without a time limit, there's no urgency to take action.
So, you know, now we go into the whole bit about why you should review your goals. And part of the deal is just so that it kind of helps you attain them. You know where you are in the process, you know, as far as what you've accomplished and what's left.
Mm-hmm.
I find that I don't hit goals very well if I don't do this on a pretty regular basis. In fact, you know, we'll get into it in a little bit, but like the weightlifting thing, that fell off. And the fact that I was going to have a mid-year review kind of pushed me back onto that. And like that's a real thing that can get you back on the path.
Also allows you to create a plan. Like when you know what's already been done and what needs to be done, you can plan out how to do what you have left.
And you can also adjust. I mean, that's another reason.
And reviewing helps track what works and what doesn't work. So if you're going towards a goal and you don't ever review, you have to hope that what you're doing is actually taking you towards that goal.
Yeah.
Because if you don't stop to review and go, oh, hey, I'm moving, but I'm moving,
I'm moving too slow, or, I'm trying to lose weight, but I'm doing deadlifting and bulking.
Yeah.
You have to make sure that your goals fit with what you're doing. Cause it's very easy to fall in the ditch on this and go towards some other goal. As developers, chasing the new shiny is something we do. It just is our nature.
It also helps you to plan around impediments, like your kids being out of school in the summer or holidays coming up, vacation time, things like that. Things where hey, I'm not going to be able to move as quickly or as much during this time frame because of these reasons. So you can plan around that by reviewing and knowing how quickly you move without that impediment. You know what to expect when you have it.
Yeah.
Also, regular review lets you change your goals to meet new circumstances. Don't stick to a goal that's no longer achievable or realistic. Sometimes things happen. Markets change. You may be saving up to buy a new car and lose your job.
You may be saving up to buy a new laptop and lose your truck.
Yeah. That's true.
Or it gets lost, by somebody else's volition.
Mm-hmm. So you need to be able to be flexible with what your goals are. Reviewing them helps you to know, okay, this is where I am towards this goal. If I change it, here's what I will lose, but, and you can compare that to, all right, what the necessity of changing it and the gains from changing the goal. I'm reminded sort of here of in college changing majors.
Yeah.
Because you did that to your detriment. It added about another year, didn't it?
It was probably a half. You know, it's probably one semester, really.
Yeah.
But the other thing, too, is it was more in line with really what I needed to do.
Well, yeah. It was a trade-off that you gave.
Now, the other thing I did is I dropped a major from a double major. And so there was a lot of time lost there.
Yeah.
You know, early on.
And I, when I switched majors, I was able to use what I had already done towards one and apply it towards the other.
So. And I was when I switched majors later on. You know, for the most, like all the classes transferred into the new majors, just there was some other stuff I had to have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. But that's something that I think about here because it's a trade-off that you have to make of, you have one goal of graduating with that major and you change that. Well, you're going to lose some things, some time or something, but what you gain from it and is what you gain from changing that more than what you lose from not.
Right.
We're doing a mid-year review now, but so far as goals are concerned, and you know, we don't want to bore you guys with regular reviews of our goals because there's so much other stuff to talk about.
Well, we really want to describe how to review goals and use ours as an example more than anything.
So we're going to talk a little bit now about review intervals. And this is the point where planning and goal setting start to blend. You need to plan out how to reach your goals. We've talked about this. You know, kind of the theme for this year has been goal setting and planning.
Yeah, there's been quite a bit of that. Mm-hmm. And you know, the biggest thing with all this is to know, you know, to do it, you've kind of got to know where you're going. It's sort of like I think it was in Alice in Wonderland where somebody's asking for directions and it's like, well, where are you going? Well, I don't know. Any direction will do.
Yeah.
You know, like you don't want to do that. That's how you get lost. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly. A few tips on reviewing your goals. When you do this, you want to reverse the order that you used when you were breaking down your goals. When you're first creating them, you start with the bigger...
Like the five-year plan or whatever.
The bigger general plans, and then you break those down. You know, in 5 years, I want to be a senior developer. Well, if that was my one goal, that would be a lot.
Right.
But I break it down to, all right, a year ago, I wanted to find a job,
And get those milestones in there. I mean, the big thing for me that I've noticed with that is just like maintaining momentum is a lot easier when I know that I'm moving, that's the big thing with reviews. And I do mine fairly often, and we'll get to that here in a minute. But you basically want to start with the smaller tasks and then build up to the bigger goal over time.
So like we were saying, when you're setting your goals, you start with a top-down approach with this is the big, this is what I want, the big thing that I want, and I'm going to break it down into smaller goals and tasks. When reviewing, you want to go backwards.
Right, because you already have the small tasks on hand, and then you need to know, okay, what do I do to get from here to there?
So you go from the bottom up. Start with the smaller task, then work up to the smaller goals, to the mid-sized goals, to your bigger goals. So that's kind of how we've broken this down for you guys. And so we're going to start with daily reviews of what you've accomplished and what you plan to do. The Scrum stand-up is a great example of this.
Yeah. I mean, I sometimes think that Scrum can take it a little too far as the radical transparency to other people, but definitely like having that regular cadence of, okay, I'm going to do this today. And at the end of the day, look at it and go, okay, did I do it?
Yeah.
That is very helpful for goal setting. And I pretty much do this every day with my to-do list. Mm-hmm. Here lately, it just means quite a few items roll to the next day. But
well, yeah.
I've gotten a little too ambitious on a few things.
You want to focus on the specifics of what you did or what you're going to do. So look at what you did yesterday. And from there, plan out what you're going to do today. And just following along with Scrum, I really like this because I write down what impedes me too.
Yes.
Like, for example, today I started off with, okay, what did I finish up on Friday? What am I planning on doing today? And then under impediments, I had about 3 or 4 questions that I needed answered before I could move forward with one of the stories.
Right.
And so when we had our stand-up, I said, hey, here's what I've done. here's what I'm doing. I need these questions answered before I can move forward, because it tells me how to move forward.
Yeah.
You know, and so in doing that, of course, the nice thing about the transparency there is I say that in our stand-up, and 30 minutes later, those questions were answered because,
right,
you know, our scrum master got in touch with the right person and got them.
And if you're in a bad environment where that doesn't happen, it at least was brought up in the meeting, so it doesn't quite all land on you.
Yeah.
Which is nice, too.
But you really need to get into the habit of doing this. Will and I do it every morning.
Yeah. First thing, well, it's not really first thing. It's like after I walk the dogs and I'm dressed, I'm usually waiting on my daughter to get ready because she takes a minute.
Yeah.
She takes a lot of minutes. And I'll run downstairs real quick and, you know, go through my checklist to make sure all the items are things I can do.
Yeah.
Because I plan it at the beginning of the week, and I go over it and go, okay, do I need anything from the house? Do I need anything on the way? You know, is there something that's going to stop me that I need to figure out how to get rid of today?
Yeah, that makes sense.
That, you know, that keeps it in your head when you're driving in.
Well, it's interesting because we have a kind of a different perspective on this, because I work from home. So my planning out my day is I'll get up, walk the dog, start making coffee, and sit down and do this while the coffee's brewing.
Right. Whereas for me, it's, you know, while I've got dead time waiting to get out of the house.
Mm-hmm. I'll do work first, and then I'll do for my personal stuff, because I work on the podcast or some other things we're doing after I get done working. So,
yeah.
But I'll do all that planning at one time, so I don't have to worry about it the rest of the day. And I do it when I haven't fully woken up yet, so it's a light task that I can do early in the morning.
Yeah. Well, it's also a lot of times not the most fun task. I mean, you're kind of eating the frog there.
Yeah.
You know, it's something that I don't particularly enjoy it, but I know if I do that first, then like everything else the rest of the day gets a little easier.
Yeah, it's funny because once I got into the habit of doing that, I look forward to it every morning.
Yeah, I still don't.
See, the thing is, I look forward to it because I feel like at my absolute worst, like the worst time of day for me is the morning, early morning.
Yes, it's my best time, but
I feel like I'm actually accomplishing something productive in my least productive time.
Yeah. Whereas for me, you know, like it's already laid out on my schedule and it pops into the priority box on Noseby, and I just go, okay, can I do that? Can I do that? And I go down the list real quick.
Yeah.
So it's more of a check, and I will pull things off there. I'm like, that's no way I can do that today.
Yeah.
Like, oh, you're going to move something, you know, down to storage by the side of the house. Well, it's pouring down rain outside. No, you're not. You know, and like, you know, fixing those kind of things real quick and going, okay, now I know what I'm doing, and I go.
Yeah. The next level up is weekly reviews of what you've accomplished and what needs to get done this week. And we've kind of hinted at this a little bit because Will uses his weekly reviews to plan out his daily.
Right. All my daily tasks and schedule.
And I do this to a degree, not to the specifics that you do.
Right. And my big thing with that is that's a Sunday evening thing, just as, you know, winding down, you know, and getting ready for the week. Because I have kind of restricted time in the morning, so it's easier to pack that in then.
Yeah, that makes sense. What you want to do is look back at the end of the week or at the beginning of the next week to see what you had set out to do, and look at it, see if you accomplished that, and if anything kept you from what you wanted to accomplish.
Right. And if something shows up on the list of things that kept you from it, you know, more than once or twice, you put a task in to kill that.
Yeah.
You know, however you have to do that, you know, and get rid of it. You know, that's a pretty big one for me. Now, I don't do like a journaling thing on the weekly. Do you?
Not for the weekly, no.
Yeah.
The weekly is, well, I do and I don't. At work.
I know you do at work. I was just thinking like personal.
No. For personal, no.
Yeah, I don't either. I mean, I just look over, you know, any notes that I took on a task and go, okay, you know, were there any impediments? I have like that audit trail, and I can look at it and go, okay, you know, what do I need to fix next week?
Yeah, I don't do the done to do impedes for the weekly. What I do is I go back and I look at what I got done from my daily notes, and I look at what at the beginning of the week I set out to do. No, that is one thing I do. I will write down what I set out to do that week.
Yeah, and I probably should do that.
Somewhat general terms. Well, the thing is, you do it by creating your list on Noseby. You're a little bit more specific than I am.
Right, but the other thing I tend to do as well is during the week, if I get overwhelmed, I'll move stuff
to
other days. and sometimes stuff rolls up and you start getting the snowball going. Mm-hmm. And I probably should track that better to try to choke that off.
Yeah. One thing I do want to point out is that at this level, you're still being in the specific tasks.
Right. And you want it to be fairly granular.
Yeah. I do kind of go a little bit more general for, okay, I'm going to do this week. And then I'm going to edit 3 episodes this week. And then I break those down in the daily tasks.
And I do the same thing with writing the newsletter and those kind of things.
Also start to apply the tasks that you've accomplished to your larger goals. Just to kind of give yourself an idea of where you are in the progress towards them. This is not the focus of your weekly reviews. As you start to get closer to a goal, you can see how much further along you are. We do this on Mondays before we record.
Yeah, we always kind of do a quick debrief of everything that's going on. I mean, we have quarterly meetings for stuff too, but this is more of the tactical, operations of here's where I am on my stuff. Where are you on your stuff? What episode is coming out this week? Even though it's on the calendar, sometimes, sometimes that has shifted.
That's true. That is very true. Because sometimes I'll get into editing and run into a problem and have to make changes. Sometimes
splitting episodes, and knowing that beforehand makes everything a lot easier. So we do this lightly on Mondays as well, just because we're both here and it's stuff for both of us versus like regular life stuff.
Also, we learned this one. Well, we learned this one through
pain.
Yeah, through pain, through experience.
Mostly your pain, though, so it was a lot more fun.
Yeah, well,
we
learned it because we would end up going way off topic during the episodes when we were recording and talking about the things that we had that we were working on. And so to reduce that and to keep, to keep from having a 2-hour episode
that he has to crop to 45 minutes.
Yeah. to keep that from happening, we started just getting together beforehand, like 30 minutes before we record, and going over everything that we've been working on this past week, so that Will does a lot of marketing for the podcast. And I do a little bit, but if I don't tell him what I'm doing, then he'll say something and I'll be like, oh, I need to tell you about this.
Right.
And it'll be in the middle of an episode.
Yeah. And then you have to cut it out later. And
yeah,
it's just better to do a debrief. So yeah, you want to have that regular cadence on a week. The other thing too is for most people in their lives, other than a year, the week is the largest unit of repeating consistent time that they have.
That's true.
Right. So like that's a control structure. That's the biggest one you can use that isn't a year, because a year's too long to plan. So planning, week by week is kind of smart. So the other thing that BJ and I both do is we do a monthly, self-review of kind of where we are. And I kind of slacked off on this a little bit a while back, and I've kind of started getting back into actually journaling. So I'll list out my, what did I say I was going to do last month? What did I actually do? What were the problems that came out of it? What were the lessons? And then, usually okay, what's in the queue for next month as far as like bigger chunks, not individual tasks, but like, where do I want to be a month from now? And that can be, also getting rid of some of the bigger problems. And I write all that stuff down. In fact, you and I had a conversation on Hangouts a while back where I was like, I like copied and pasted something about like you were being unreliable, and I forget what it was. It was something like you were, he's being late a lot lately, and or he flaked. That's what it was. It was something along those lines, and it was from like a year and a half ago. And I just happened to find it in a folder, and I'm like, huh, that doesn't happen anymore. And it's weird how you'll find like you're not intending to look back on the stuff, but you'll click on something wrong and you pop the thing open. Cause I mean, at least we do, I keep it in Visual Studio Code, or I can open it there. And so I clicked on like last May or something, or February last year, for some reason I clicked on it, and that was there. And it's like, wow, I don't even think we had the good mics.
That was when we got the good mics.
Yeah, maybe it was.
And I think that was also right around the time that I started being more regular, and I think it was...
Fiber's good for that.
I got better control of my...
Control of your emotional state.
Yeah, well...
Which I was tied to everything else.
That did help a lot. But I got better control of my time management around that time. And I think I had been consistently on time or early, And then something came up. I was sick or something. And then you're like, he's back to it again or something.
Yeah. And it was like totally not appropriate because like I read the subsequent months and there wasn't another one of those all the way up through like June or July. I forget when I stopped doing that last year, you know, taking notes. And now I've started back looking over those things like because it's very easy. Like when something is frustrating you right now to look at that and it's just, it's this horrible, terrible thing. And it's like, look, you know, once you've grown enough, the problems you have are things that other people would be grateful to have as a problem.
That's true. Yeah.
and you can look back and see the version of you that would have been grateful to have that problem.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, I'm stressed out because, you know, we got Music City Code coming up and we, you know, we've hit, you know, our podcast numbers keep going up and up and up and I don't have Google Analytics set up properly. And, you know, like there's like 100 other things. Like, I mean, you and I went over the punch list. There's like, there's like 40 items. There's not really 100. Well, some of those are projects.
Yeah.
That have to be handled. And I'm like all wound up about this. And then I'm like looking at these, reviews that are like, you know, we got, you know, 800 downloads this month or something, you know, ridiculous. Or we got 800 last month, you know, or whatever. And it's like, dude, we can hit that in a day now.
Yeah.
And it's like, why am I winding myself up? Everything has been all right this entire time.
Yeah.
Even though I'm a completely disorganized basket case in my own head, everything has worked and we've gotten to where we need to be.
Well, that's the thing. When you're realistically organized.
Yeah.
You know how much more organized you could be.
Yeah.
But it would be unrealistic to be that organized.
Yeah.
And you don't see it as that would be unrealistic. You see it as
I'm a failure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And when you look back at it and other people look in on it and they go, wow, you're really, really organized. And you're going, no, I'm not, because I don't have this and this and this and this. And they're going, I never would have thought of any of those.
Yeah.
And when you look back, like you were saying, when you look back over your months of review, you can see, oh, hey, you know, these issues now are not that bad. Another thing that I think goes along with this is the day my truck got stolen. I had a doctor's appointment. I went and I was talking to the nurse at the doctor's office, telling her about what was going on and, you know, apologizing for being late for my appointment. I'm surprised you even made it. I'm like, she's like, you seem like you're in a really good mood for just having your truck stolen. I'm like, I've had worse days.
Yeah.
And she's like, how could you have had worse days? I'm like, there have been worse days in my life than this. I can deal with it.
I got a phone call on more than one of those.
Yeah.
There's a pretty good long streak of them, actually.
Yeah. And, you know.
Well, and you got
to
admit.
One thing about bad things happening to you is it puts other stuff in perspective.
Yeah.
You know, like when my truck got stolen the day I was supposed to go to the doctor's office because I couldn't walk because my foot was swollen up.
Yeah.
And you know what? It did not destroy me.
Right. Because
I have faced worse things than that.
And, you know, the other thing, too, is you were able to calmly deal with it. Like, your life was organized enough that it wasn't catastrophic. And other people, by, you know, that point are like, he doesn't flake. You know, he doesn't do this kind of stuff. So, like, when you needed, you know, you're like, hey, I need a day off for this.
Yeah.
It was no issue.
Exactly. That's very true.
So, that's the biggest thing I've noticed with my monthly ones. And it is really nice just to go through it.
Mm-hmm.
And look back and also planning out your implementation for the next month, like how, you know, like what tasks, you know, what big chunks are going to fall in what weeks. That is quite helpful. I mean, like that gives you a feeling of hope, honestly. Yeah. Like you can go, okay, I'm going to head this direction and, you know, I've got all this history behind me and I'm going to continue the story next month.
Yeah, that's really true. And, you know, I've told this story a few times, but I just remember growing up, I had to mow the lawn. I would get probably about 3/4 of the way done and just be exhausted, not want to continue. And I'm looking ahead and seeing how much more I have to do. And just it looks like there's so much more to do.
Yeah.
And then I turn and look at what I've gotten done and I see 3/4 of the lawn already mowed. And I'm like, oh, I've already done all that.
Right.
Like
it makes a difference.
It puts it in perspective. Yeah.
The next thing we do, and Beej and I do this, it's typically together, at least on the podcast stuff. You know, I do this myself on my own things.
I do too.
But doing a quarterly review of your goals as well, because that's, I'm trying to think of the best way to put this. That's 12 weeks stuff. So, you know, instead of it just being like a weekly or monthly thing, because you can have a bad week or bad month. If you've had three, you know, like this is when you reevaluate stuff.
This is where you want to focus on the big picture. and kind of overall story arcs. Kind of look at the major progress towards your goal. In this review, it's the time to make decisions on the direction you're going to go for the next quarter.
And you do this, by the way, like if you're looking at like your second quarter goals, right? Okay, when does that start?
It depends on what quartering system you're using. Okay, so it's like you're starting in January, not using a fiscal system.
Right.
Okay, so if you're starting in January, quarter two starts in April.
And you want to, like,
so
you should be kind of getting this, like, laid out, like, mid-March.
Yeah.
Because it's bigger.
It's what what we do is we will meet for a quarterly review and a quarterly planning where we will go over, we'll get together towards the end of quarter one to plan for quarter two. And then after quarter one is over with, the first couple of weeks of quarter two, we'll get together and review quarter one.
Yeah, we'll have a retrospective.
Yeah.
And that seems to work pretty well for us. Plus, it's excuses to go out and get beers twice.
Yeah.
Which is always, that's always a win. But I mean, it makes a big difference. I mean, you're getting to, you know, larger scale decisions. And honestly, you know, the other thing is we talk about stuff that's more like a year out.
That's true.
And, you know, what can we do this quarter to go towards the real big goals?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's exactly it. You want to look at the big pictures here. You want to look at your larger goals and say, okay, what have my smaller goals done to get me towards that larger goal? What do I have left? And am I on track for it?
Right.
You know, because you may be working towards a goal, like you were saying about weightlifting. You may be looking to lose weight and find out that...
And you're eating, you know, 4,000 calories a day and doing heavy squats.
Yeah.
It's not going to work. You're not going to lose weight. You may get strong as all get out, but...
You know, and find out that you've lost a lot of girth and you're pretty much, like, very low body fat, all muscle.
Right. But you didn't...
You didn't lose any weight.
Yeah.
And this is the time to look at that and go, okay, do I need to reevaluate my goal? Should my goal, instead of being losing weight...
Yeah, or is this more compelling? Else?
Yeah.
You know, like, is there more that I can do with this that I didn't think of when I set the goal originally? Like, you need to constantly be readjusting.
Exactly.
There's a reason your GPS system in your car doesn't just go, okay, I'm going to calculate the route for you and you're going to drive it.
Yeah.
And, you know, anything happens, like the road's blocked, you're just there. Like, there's a reason that readjusts is because life happens. So, and you got to do this with your goals.
Exactly. Exactly.
And, you know, we do a, you know, I think it's the first Sunday of every quarter or something?
Yeah, we meet the first Sunday of every quarter to review the previous quarter.
And it's the first Sunday, give or take.
Yeah.
That's
for our review. It's usually the second to last or the last Sunday. Usually we do it about a month apart.
Right.
So it's like the second to last Sunday of the quarter, or we'll get together and plan out the next one. And then about 3-4 weeks later, we'll get together and
Do the retrospective. And the other reason we do that is because some of the stuff that we're doing, like if we do stuff the last week of the quarter, we may not have results on it for 3 weeks.
Yeah,
you know, that's just the way it is. There's latency, so you got to plan for that. The other thing we do is annual reviews. So this is like the big long term goals, and
this is the one that we talk about at the end of the year or the beginning of the year, sort of. Kind of depends on where that episode falls,
right?
Basically, but you know, this is our resolutions or our goals for the next year that we share with you guys. But before we do that, we get together and go over stuff for the podcast specific. And what you want to do here is to look back on what you've accomplished over the year. You know, in broad strokes, big terms. Look back at each quarter that you've written down. Okay, this is the things that I got done this quarter, and look at the big picture. You know, you're going to be much less specific here and a lot more general, focused on your larger life goals. You know, this is where you look at, all right, where am I in my progress towards my 5-year plan?
And we do this, you know, around September, because that's, you know, we started actually releasing podcast episodes in September. I forget when we started recording, but that didn't matter because we weren't organized enough to start the process then. But you know, we do this in September, and that usually informs, you know, what the end of the year goals are going to, or, you know, and it also informs what next year's goals are going to be. And that's the stuff we bring up some of on the podcast. There's other things that we don't put on there, but you know, we have like these regular cadences that are kind of broken down so that, you know, we have a framework that we hang our goals off of. Like that's exactly why we accomplish what we do.
You want to use this to get an idea of where you are in the process.
Yeah. And the biggest thing is revising.
Yeah.
And that's part of why we have this breakdown.
Yeah, this episode came about because really I have had to revise some of my goals based on some life events, and kind of the timing hit to where we could put this out around mid-year. So we just decided, let's go ahead and have an episode where we talk about this, because when we did our goal setting episode, we very briefly went over reviewing your goals, but didn't go into too much detail. And it was something that, especially after I had to make some changes, I realized, hey, this is, life happens. Bad things happen, and you have to make changes.
Yeah. And you constantly have to be adjusting, but you don't want to do reactive adjustment. And that's mm-hmm. part of what the point of this is it's responsive adjustment, not reactive.
Exactly. So when revising your goals, they're not meant to be static, though the larger ones may seem that way for quite a while. If you reached a goal too easily, you need to make them harder.
Right.
If your goals are extremely difficult, then you need to set smaller goals or break them down more. That said, don't give up on your goals because they're going to be difficult to achieve.
Yeah. I mean, the biggest thing too, like when you have a setback is when you look at the setback and go, okay, this has stopped me. It did. Whereas if you go, okay, this makes this more challenging and I'm going to push harder.
You want to welcome roadblocks and repeats and having to redo things.
Yeah. I mean, it builds character. And the thing is when you get that goal, it's that much better.
Oh, yeah. It really is. I mean,
like if you get into, sometimes we need to do a episode on Joseph Campbell's stuff, the hero with 1,000 faces. Because if you look at the story arc of a character, like, no spoilers here, but like if you read Lord of the Rings, right? You know, what happens? Well, Frodo goes and he's taking the ring to Mordor and he gets attacked by, basically a border guardian.
Yeah.
That, severely wounds him and he gets captured and all this bad stuff happens. Like that made the trip seem more dangerous and made the goal at the end better. Like you're going to have those parts of your story arc and accept that that's the natural flow of things and you'll be better off for it.
That makes sense.
Because that's what makes the story compelling to you, and it makes, makes it where you can continue to plot on.
Also, like I was saying earlier about having had worse days.
Yeah.
I don't want to say just like welcome bad times with open arms, but.
Right. Because nobody wants bad times.
Nobody wants bad times, but understand that welcome those roadblocks and those times where you don't reach your goals as ways to learn. This also allows you to be agile with your goals.
Right.
Goals should move you toward what you want to achieve or want to become. When they no longer do this, that's when they need to be adjusted. Other situations may take precedent over your goals.
Yeah, because, stuff changes. Like your truck got stolen. You were looking to do other things with money that's not going to be there now.
Yeah, exactly.
One way or another. I got hit with that this year as well. Taxes burned me. Mm-hmm. When you start paying 5 figures of taxes that you didn't know were coming and you thought it was going to be low fours, that hurts a little bit.
Well, you want to talk about big goals changing, big, huge life goals changing?
Yeah. Med school?
Med school. My goal was to be a doctor.
Yeah.
And had that not changed, we wouldn't have this podcast.
That's right. And I would probably be pretty irritated and bored with software development at this point.
Yeah.
Because, I was getting there.
You were. I remember back when I first got into it, you were, good grief, even when I was in med school, you were talking about being...
Yeah, I was talking about doing something else.
Yeah.
Anything else. And, it just changes and you got to reevaluate. Do be careful and only make your changes at the larger review times. Like, if you're feeling discouraged, try to push through for a little while and then see where you are. Because you don't want to get, dissuaded from your course by the first little thing that comes along.
Yeah.
But if it's a continued repeating pattern of pain, then you reevaluate. And that's, part of the reason we have the structure we do is there's a time for that.
Yeah. I mean, you want to do this at things like your quarterly or annual reviews.
Yeah.
Possibly even at your monthly if it's a smaller goal.
Yeah.
It really depends on the goal. The larger the goal, the further out you need to wait to really make a change.
Yeah. And the other thing too is like if it's been a painful thing for like 2 months, you might make it at the monthly.
Yeah.
Although at that point, why not just wait till a quarter? But, you know, it could be bad enough, or there could be serious circumstances that force it.
You need to avoid making these changes too frequently, because you do that, you're never going to accomplish anything.
Yeah. You're just running around like a chicken with its head cut off.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess it's probably time to talk about what our goals were for the year and kind of talk about where we are in the process and kind of how we've readjusted, recalibrated our stuff, because some things have changed since January.
That's true.
Lots of things have changed since January.
Yeah, a lot has changed. So we're going to go back and forth like we did back in January. And I'll start off with my number one goal for this year was buy a new laptop. And this goal has been put on hold. We've kind of talked about this already a little bit about my truck getting stolen. Now, originally, I had pushed this back because I wanted to get some bills paid, and I was decided to do the responsible thing and, you know, use the money I'd saved up to pay off some credit card and other bills. But I had been saving for that's about a month and a half now. I could go out and buy a new laptop right now if I needed to.
Yeah, you've been real cheap.
Yeah.
I've noticed here lately, and and it sucks because, you know, you just got hit, and there's nothing you can do about it.
And so now my goal is to get a new vehicle, you know, and I don't know what the insurance is going to give me. They may give me enough to go out and get a vehicle. Not likely. I'll probably end up putting it down as a down payment.
Well, you could get a scooter.
I already have a motorcycle. Why would I want a scooter?
I don't know. You know, like that's an option.
Hey, scooter. Scooter. Hey, scooter. Yeah.
That's what I call my dog. Somebody's laughing. So, you know, my first goal for the year was meditate more regularly. And I have not done that. I have done some, but not at the level. You know, I was wanting to do that pretty much every day.
Yeah.
And my big problem has been time. My daughter's school bus, you know, gets the bus stop a little bit later. And it doesn't, you wouldn't think it makes that much of a difference, but that if that bus is 10 minutes later, it's like 30 minutes later for me to get to work.
Yeah, traffic.
Yeah, because traffic just gets way worse. You know, traffic, and then like if I stop, you know, at the gas station to get coffee, because they actually have decent coffee and we don't necessarily at work, the line's longer then too. So it's just everything just piles up. And then you end up, okay, well, I got in later. That means I leave later. And so I'm in the backed up traffic after, which means I get home later, which means all the stuff I was doing at home now is pushed back, you know, 45 minutes to an hour. And that was a 45 minutes to an hour worth of meditation time that isn't there anymore. Mm-hmm. And your second goal
is to become a permanent employee at work.
And you landed that one. You stuck the landing.
I did stick the landing on that one. That was back in February. I got hired on full time. So that goal is completed.
Yeah, my second goal was lift more often and hit 450 pounds for the deadlift. I have lifted some. I've not been as consistent as I need to, and I've not been pushing the heavier lifts.
Mm-hmm.
I had some issues with my neck early in the year, my neck and my jaw. Like I've been clenching my teeth and stuff at night.
Grinding your teeth.
And it's stress is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And there's just a lot of, you know, I finally, like when I went to Vegas, I came back and I realized that just how much pressure I'd been allowing to build up and not deal with. And it was, and it's, you know, we'll get into this at some other point, but you know, it was mainly fear of loss on stuff.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, stuff is going to be what it is. Like just let it go, then go forward. And so I'm hoping that I can still hit 450 on the deadlift. Right now, I'm just trying to get kind of, you know, reconditioned a little bit.
Well,
because I will be sore today or tomorrow because, I mean, I did 70 swings with a 48 kilo kettlebell, and I haven't been doing a lot of swings lately.
Well, I mean, I set my personal record for deadlifts today.
Yeah.
But, you know, now that I'm getting back into it too, and I'm going to be coming over a couple of days a week, we're getting back on track on this one.
Yeah.
Because this affects one of mine too. My next goal was to speak at a conference, code club, or user group meeting. And I did this also back in February. I hit two goals in February. It's kind of funny.
Yeah.
But
it's the shortest month of the year.
Yeah. Best month, though. It's best month. I spoke at the IT Professional Association for the state of Tennessee in their monthly meeting in February. Submitted a few other talks at conferences. Haven't actually gotten selected to be a speaker yet, but I'm working on it. I've talked to the .NET user group about possibly speaking. They're interested, but I think they want both of us to come in and talk about the apprenticeship.
That sounds great. Let's do that. My next one was to do better with my editorial calendar. You know, finish the book, et cetera. The editorial calendar is quite a bit better, and there's more stuff on it. The book I put on hold for a while. I'll probably start working on that again over the summertime. Now, you and I are also working on an audiobook, which, you know, we've hit that pretty hard, honestly.
Yeah, and we're
considering. We're 10 chapters in out of 16. They're, you know, I mean, they're short-ish. We're just fitting that in where it can fit.
I guess we can go ahead and announce it, but we're going to try to publish that by the end of this year.
Yeah.
And we can't promise that. That's not a goal, but it's not an official goal.
Of course, the original goal was to get like 3 or 4 this year and have the workflow down, which I think we're learning a lot about how to workflow it better.
We're gaining knowledge as we go along to where doing 3 or 4 a year may be something we can in a few years.
Yeah.
But being realistic, this is getting one out by the end of this year is going to be pretty awesome.
Yeah.
My next was to outline and begin writing a book for autodidactic or self-taught developers with 2 sub things. And that was to have the outline done by May. We have the initial outline finished. We got that done in January, I think. That was we got the overall.
Well, like after you set the goal, I was like, okay, no, we're going to just like.
We spent, about 2 days just like really hammering out. I was writing out the outline and you were standing there like helping me out, answering questions for me.
Yeah. And I showed you how, you know, what I do in Scrivener and all that stuff.
And then the other one was to have section 1 of the first draft completed by the end of the year. And just like your book, I'm not currently working on it because we're working on the other book at the moment. But I do plan on later on this year putting some effort into it and getting section 1 finished by the end of the year.
So my next goal was finish my punch list of home improvements. You know, it's like getting my backyard fenced in, finish the workroom, get the network wiring done. Taxes completely destroyed that.
Yeah.
Full stop. I got hit with a 5-figure tax bill. I had to file an extension because of some paperwork that I couldn't find. So I still had to pay like $7,000 of it, and I've got to drop, you know, more money on the rest here soon. Actually, I need to call the accountant, but that pretty well, you know, just sopped up all the money that could have gone to that. And I'm really pretty bitter about the tax situation because it's just like throwing money down a hole. It's not.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
You know, and I had to adjust, and I'm hoping to still get that list done by the end of the year. We'll see.
So my next goal is to lose 50 pounds by October. I'll be honest with you guys, I am not on track for this one.
But, you know, you might lose an arm.
Yeah, well.
Or a leg. If you lost a leg, you could maybe.
Yeah, I'd rather not do that.
Yeah.
I had some injury that reduced my capacity to work out. And then following that, I had some poor eating choices.
Especially stuff with onions that you didn't know had onions in it.
Yeah, yeah. And so that kind of hindered my ability to work towards that goal. I'm back on the path towards it.
Well, and being able to work from home has helped you, I think.
Yeah.
Because now you kind of have a little bit more control over your meals. I mean, I've been working on the meal planning thing too, and it's tough. It's like, I do not want to eat any more chuck roast. You know, I'm so over it.
What you mean. I've kind of fallen off the wagon, so to speak, on the healthy lifestyle. I'm getting back on it. Working towards it. I thought doing the HelloFresh would help with that.
Yeah.
And
you got real good at washing dishes, didn't you?
Yeah, exactly.
It seemed like a great idea at the time.
It did. And, you know, for some people, it is a great idea. I don't want to trash them because I think they're a great company. I think what they do is really cool. It just wasn't right for me because I have...
Well, you have a small apartment. Like, I think if somebody had, like, my kitchen...
Yes.
And they're doing that and they have the setup to handle all that and, you know, just the space to spread crap out.
Yeah. Well, that and there's 2 people I think that really benefit from it. And if I look at the 2 people that have told me about this and suggested it, they fit. One fits one and one fits the other. There is the people that don't know how to cook that, you know, follow the recipes exactly and are learning from it. And there are the people that know how to cook really well.
And they just get the ingredients.
Yeah, they just get the ingredients and kind of look through the recipe and go, oh, I know how to make that, and then go off and do their own thing. I fall somewhere in between there where I'm a fairly decent cook where I don't really need their recipe.
But you try to follow it anyway, and it's like, yeah, you know, you need 8 bowls for this recipe.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, it's, I remember you talking about that. I think you'll get there. I don't think you'll be able to lose the 50 pounds by October.
I might be able to by the end of the year, though.
Yeah. And, you know, then again, too, you may go, okay, well, I'm losing inches and I'm gaining muscle mass. Mm-hmm. Like, you're not going to care if you weigh the same and it's all muscle.
That's very true.
You'll be a freak.
But, well, I already am, but you know.
Nobody will tell you are because you'll break them.
Yeah. You know, so that's really easy. True.
Yeah. It's the problem solves itself.
Yeah.
So my fifth goal was to improve my personal brand. And I think I've done that some, trying to get into public speaking by way of a user group somewhere. I did put in for a lightning talk at MicroConf. I got beat out. You know, soundly by Josh Duty, by the way, you know, among others. But I was real happy to see, you know, that he won. I got close. I got closer than I thought I would.
That's awesome.
You know, and so now I know.
Did you put in for Music City Code? I did.
Did you get it?
No.
Okay.
I didn't put in for a lightning talk, though.
This was like a 15-minute thing because I was going to be in a room of like several hundred entrepreneurs that are all coders and they're building businesses. Like,
I should have gone for a lightning talk and not a bigger talk because I think the bigger name people are getting those.
Well, see, I went for that because it scared the crap out of me.
Yeah.
Like, intentionally. So I haven't gotten into the public speaking thing. We're going to try that. I did get on Developer on Fire, which is still pretty darn good.
Really enjoyed that show, too.
Yeah.
That's one of my favorites.
Yeah. And he's a heck of a good interviewer, too. I mean, wow.
Yeah, I listened to not just your episode. I listened to a lot of the other episodes.
Yeah, but, the one that John Beluca was on and you know, some of the other folks. And I feel like such a poser when I see somebody that interviews that well because I'm like, I'm just not like I feel so
we're
terrible.
Not an interview podcast.
No, but I mean, it's like I felt like I was okay. And then I saw what somebody that's good at it can actually do. And it was totally different. But I'm working on that. I am trying to increase my visibility in general. I got John Sonmez's How to Market Yourself as a Software Developer, of course. And I went through 2 of the PDFs so far. Mm-hmm. And I have 47 items on my to-do list now. And so I'm a little scared of what the videos are going to do. I'm going to go through them, but it's going to take a minute.
He's got some really great stuff.
Yeah. And it's so dense as far as what value is in there that, you know, I know I need to be really focused going into that. So, I mean, this is still in progress. I do feel like my personal brand and my, you know, my exposure is better.
Well, my final goal is to do 100 one-arm kettlebell swings as a warm-up to lifting by the end of the year.
Not the entire thing. It's the warm-up.
Yes. And you know what? Today, I did a little over 30.
With what weight?
24 kilo. And okay. I said 24 kilo last time. So we had gotten out of the habit of working out. We've been getting back into it. When I originally wrote this, my foot was still hurt. That was a couple of weeks ago. And so we've gotten back into it. I set a personal record for my deadlifts tonight.
Yeah.
But I got about a little over 30 swings, one arm with the 24 kilo. And that was kind of my baseline. I'm like, all right, I want to come in and I want to do 100 swings, 50 per arm with the 24 kilo.
See, I'm trying to get where I can reliably switch hands with the 48.
Yeah, I'm not quite there yet.
Yeah. That's a lot of mass, and it's, you know, it's also timing.
Yeah.
I did get 70 two-handed swings in, and I think I could probably do, you know, switch hands sometimes. I just didn't feel like my feet were quite as fast as I wanted them to be today.
Yeah.
You don't do that when it feels off like that, you know, no. 48 kilos landing on your foot, like that's the end of the foot. So you don't screw around with that. So, and my last goal was to take more days off and use them for myself. I'm trying to think of a good way to put this. I took, 5 days off for MicroConf, which I guess I could say is for myself. It's, you know, for my business development and all that kind of thing. And, you know, and I also climbed, a mountain near Vegas.
You enjoyed your time there, though.
Yeah.
You enjoyed the conference.
Yeah, I enjoyed. Well, okay, Vegas, how can I put this? The dose determines the poison. 3 days in Vegas is fun. The fourth day, it starts getting real old.
Yeah.
Real quick, just because it's not...
You don't gamble, though.
Right. I don't gamble, and, you know, like, I can't afford to drink to excess in Vegas, at least not on the Strip.
Well, if you gambled, you could afford to drink.
Right. Or not. With my luck, I wouldn't. I wouldn't be able to afford to drink.
If you're gambling, the drinks are free.
Oh, okay. I legitimately have not.
That's what I was getting at, was if you're actually playing in the casinos, the drinks are free.
Yeah.
I'll go in with a couple $100 and I'll drink like 2 or 3 times that amount.
In one sitting, which is easy in Vegas. That's like 2 bourbon and cokes.
Yeah.
It's like Starbucks for liquor over there. It's holy crap.
Yeah, I know. And that's the thing. You go in and you sit and you drink to your heart's content while you're playing. And then you get done playing, you got a good buzz going, then you go do stuff.
Yeah, maybe that's the way to do it. But I am taking more days off. Like, I've got 2 days off for Music City Code.
Yeah.
And no others planned. It's a little tricky to get the days off that I need, because I think I get either 2 or 3 weeks. I can't remember. So either I'm down to just 3 days left this year, or I've got 8 left, and I'm not sure which it is.
Well,
I need to figure that out, but I do need to do better about taking time off and actually like relaxing.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like I can't most of the time, because there's just so much stuff to do that even if I take a day off, you know, I am doing a little bit better on Sundays, not working most of the day. I'll stop at maybe 4 or 5 hours. Like, that's about as far as I've gotten on this one. So I can't really say that this was a win.
Mm-hmm.
It is something that I need to keep in the goal set, but it's not a win.
It's an in progress. I mean, we're halfway through the year. You still have more time to actually hit this one. You can do it.
I mean, that's the thing. I don't have to do anything. Like, I just, like, that's the hardest thing for me, is like to sit here and just go do nothing. But anyway, this kind of goes through what our goals are and how we've had to adjust. Just kind of give a framework for people, because it's very easy to think, okay, these guys are goal oriented and they smash through everything. I mean, clearly, like, we failed at half of them, and, you know, that's okay.
It is. Your goals are going to change with time. The goals that you and I had when we were in our 20s.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Were very different from the ones that we have now. Good grief. The ones we had when we started this podcast were very different from what we have now. This is why regularly reviewing them will help you to keep track of your progress and to know what you need to put your focus on in order to accomplish those goals and adjust them as time goes by. That pretty much wraps us up. Before we close everything out, Will, what do you have for us this week for Tricks of the Trade?
I have a rant. I went to my grandmother's church this weekend on a Sunday, and the preacher started going off about people using cell phones, not using cell phones in the church, but like this whole thing about dependence on technology and people, you know, that always have their faces in their phone and they're not interacting with their family and they're always on Facebook and social media and all this stuff. Something occurred to me that I just want to throw out there as a thought. What if the reason people stop paying attention to you and they get on their phone is because you're not providing value? And the reason I bring this up is I noticed, you know, a number of people that in my life at different points that have complained about other people using the phone a lot. You know, they'll be sitting there at dinner and they're on the phone. Well, you know, when my friends and I go out to eat, we don't get on our phones. And I think the deal there is a relationship equity that is built up. You know, Beej and I, you know, if we're sitting there eating, you know, we're not on our phones because we bring value to the table, and it's value in excess of what they can get on the phone. And it's incumbent on you to try to figure out how to be worth the effort, not the other way around. And part of this is just like, it's empowerment, but part of it is like just being realistic. Like, the phone is always going to be there, so you can get as mad as you want, but you can only overcome it. So that's my rant. That's all I got.
Stand by for Titanfall.
If you have a question or comment for us, please email us at neckbeards@completedeveloperpodcast.com. Our theme music is an excerpt from Stand By for Titanfall by Pure Bells, available on SoundCloud and licensed under Creative Commons. The intro music for IoTs is Hillbilly Hip Hop by Jason Belcher. For references, show notes, and to sign up to our email list, be sure and check out the website at CompleteDeveloperPodcast.com. You can also follow us on Twitter at CompleteDevPod and like our page on Facebook to keep up with the news about the show. Thanks for listening. See you next time.